Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
How do we defend children's rights? Well, there's one very simple but hard answer to that, and it is that adults need to do hard things.
Katie Faust of Them Before Us, speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Too often, we expect children to do the hard things in marriage and family situations. What about when adults are facing a struggling marriage? If the adults decide, we just can't work this out, what they're really saying is, this cross is too heavy for me. Here, kids, you take it instead.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Katie Faust's presentation, Making the Case for Children's Rights, from this year's Making the Case Conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $250, you can download an audio and video recording. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It may make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered. They're being murdered. I mean, I think it's up to now 17. Don't hold me to that number, but it's higher now.
Yeah.
And that's just this year. And so I promise you, there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your daughter or daughters, whichever, one or two.
One,
your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. None, zero.
That's a Democratic presidential candidate, Joe Biden, speaking during last week's town hall, asked a question about whether or not children, in this case, an 8-year-old, should be allowed to transition their gender if they have gender dysphoria or confusion about their gender. So the subject being transgender children, and Joe Biden is all ready for it. In fact, he has pledged that if elected, he would sign into law the Equality Act, which includes, well, basically dropping all barriers whatsoever to the transgender activists. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, October the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Joe Biden's support for the transitioning of children. Katie Faust will be our guest a little bit later. Pastor Peter Bender joins us to continue our conversation on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Then we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller an hour or two. Well, he contracted COVID several months ago, and the COVID itself was bad enough. The second wave of symptoms was practically devastating to him. We'll talk about his personal battle with COVID, which is ongoing. That's an hour two of Issues Etc. Joining us to discuss Joe Biden's support for the gender transition of children, Katie Faust, founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Joe Biden Tells Mom He Supports Transgendering 8-Year-Old Kids. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Give us some context for Vice President Biden's promise to change the law regarding transgender children.
Yeah, it was in his town hall last week when there was a mother of two girls. You know, this is the mother introduced herself as the mother of two girls, 8 and 10. The youngest daughter is transgender, which means she's the mother of a boy and a girl. But the 8-year-old boy identifies as a girl. And she asked Vice President Biden, you know, what he would do about the supposed dangerous and discriminatory agenda against trans people that the Trump campaign has supposedly put in place. And Biden said he will flat out change the law, and then said that it would make life a lot easier if we could allow 8-year-olds to transition, that there should be, quote unquote, zero discrimination against them. So that was the exchange that took place in the town hall that caught my attention.
Why do you say that this promise on the part of the vice president is pure cynicism?
Well, honestly, you say something like that, right? What it means for an 8-year-old to transition or to be transgender means to encourage that child to adopt lifelong medical risks. And obviously he said this because there is a woke segment of his base, of Democrats that believe that that is what civil rights looks like these days. And it involves sacrificing the little bodies of children. So to me, it looked like a pretty self-interested move to gain that demographic's vote, but really at the detriment of children all across the country. To me, that looks like cynicism on the part of a politician.
Vice President Biden has pledged to sign the Equality Act if elected. What is that?
So the Equality Act reinterprets some language in the Civil Rights Act from 1964. In essence, it de-sexes language that is meant to protect women, right? So wherever the term sex appears in federal anti-discrimination law, the so-called Equality Act would include the words gender identity and sexual orientation. So here's the definition that the Equality Act would infuse into federal law. The term gender identity means the gender-related identity, appearance, mannerism, or other gender-related characteristics of an individual, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth. So what that means is that anybody who identifies as a woman could have access to female-only spaces and female-only scholarships and female-only sports teams and female-only lockers. So it actually destroys protections for the very people, women, that it was written to protect.
Why are so many advocating for children to undergo gender transition?
Well, first of all, I really do believe that there is an increase in confusion among young children when it comes to their identity, their gender, their identifying and connecting with their own bodies for so many different reasons. And so, first of all, we need to be incredibly compassionate for kids who are genuinely struggling with gender dysphoria. But I also think that we are seeing adults reading in their own desires and their own agendas into children these days, right? A child who is not gender typical, right? A little boy who maybe gravitates towards more female typical interests now immediately is being labeled transgender instead of just allowing that little boy to kind of buck some of the traditional gender stereotypes, right? Maybe he's more interested in cooking and less interested in football. Maybe he likes pink and doesn't really like blue. Well, that used to just be called normal childhood. But now these days, I really do think that some radical activists, some especially woke parents, and definitely some educators are reading into that the idea that maybe this little boy actually wants to be a girl and then encourages him along that path. I think a lot of this has to do with family breakdown, that some of the kids in these homes don't have amazing examples of masculinity and femininity in their own home. It's not uncommon for fatherless boys who are raised in an all-female home to go, well, maybe I'm a girl too, because that's really the only example of adulthood that I have in my life. And then, of course, we have the incredible profit that exists to transition children when you're talking about the fact that if they do decide to transition, they will be lifelong consumers of pharmaceuticals and cosmetic surgery.
What path do trans activists envision for children who are allegedly suffering from gender dysphoria?
There's really like a fourfold path that trans activists would encourage kids to take. So the first one is a social transition, right, where they adopt different names, a different pronoun, change the way they dress. And then there's several ways to alter the exterior of a child's body to begin that first step of impersonating the opposite sex. So in the article, I list that there are little prosthetic penises that people are selling for elementary school girls or middle school girls to make it appear as though they have a penis. Chest binders are promoted for girls who are developing breasts and who want to hide the appearance of their breasts. And they are incredibly restrictive wraps that they put around their breasts that actually have some pretty significant health risks that go along with it. It really is a modern day corset that can restrict blood flow and even crack a little girl's ribs or a young woman's ribs. And then boys or transgender teens or men will be led through tutorials on how to tuck and tape their penis so that you do not see the appearance of a penis through the clothing. And this is also incredibly dangerous. That can lead to all different kinds of infections. and things like testicular torsion, it's not healthy to restrict the use of your fully functioning organs. So then next, after that, they'll encourage puberty blockers, that is off-label hormones that will block a child's healthy development. Puberty is a necessary part of human maturation and a sign of health. And so these puberty blockers actually block the ability for the child to develop normally. After that, they will be encouraged to take cross-sex hormones that will stimulate the development of more feminine attributes in boys and more masculine attributes in girls. And then finally, the ultimate is what they call gender-affirming surgery, gender-affirmation surgery, which is really just the amputation of healthy, fully functioning organs. And again, these are things that the child will have to be on for life. They will have to take estrogen for life if they want to retain these more feminine attributes. And all of these drugs have significant and, for the most part, unstudied. This is a experimental course of treatment for kids because many of these drugs have not been approved for use in children. So while we know that there are significant drawbacks, even using these drugs at small doses, we have yet to really study the impact of what's going to happen to kids when they start this in puberty and take them for decades.
What does the American College of Pediatricians have to say about all of this?
Yeah, I linked to them in the article. They've got a great paper called Gender Ideology Harms Children, where they collate the data on all of these different health risks to children when it comes to these experimental treatments that they are on. They link to all the different studies about how puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones are incredibly dangerous for children. They talk about how suicide rates can increase among adults who are using cross-sex hormones and who undergo sex reassignment surgery. So almost everything that we are told about, especially children transitioning, right, that it's helpful to them, that these are reversible in case they want to go back to their original sex, that this is going to improve their mental health, it's all disproved by the data. And the American College of Pediatricians does a good job of laying that out.
You say that it isn't discriminatory to tell a child that he's a boy or that she's a girl. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, all of these trans inclusionary efforts are pushed under the guise of non-discrimination, right? So we are saying that, oh, it's discriminatory if we were to tell this child that they really are a boy or they really are a girl. But that's actually the very best course of action. If you have a child who is gender confused or gender atypical, even, tell that kid. What you really need to do is say, hey, your body's amazing. It doesn't matter whether or not you like ballet and princesses like other girls. You get to fully be a girl and climb trees and play soccer at a high level. And if you're a little boy and you don't necessarily love football and you're not into cars, that's okay. You can still completely be a boy and like things that are more typically female in nature. Like maybe you're quiet and you like to read and you like to draw. That's amazing, right? You can still be a boy and like all of those things. And so it's incredible that we're pushing this under the guise of non-discrimination when really the idea that a child can, there's a lot of different ways to be a boy and there's a lot of different ways to be a girl. That's really what we should be telling these kids instead of telling them that they need to fundamentally alter their bodies in the name of non-discrimination.
What should parents and medical professionals do when a child is confused about his or her body?
Well, we know that a high level, close to two-thirds of people who identify as transgender also suffer from comorbidities, right? Other mental health issues, either depression or anxiety or dissociative disorders or some kind of phobia. And sometimes resolving that underlying issue will also resolve the feelings of being trapped in the wrong body. So what these kids really need, if they're genuinely struggling with gender dysphoria, is they need therapy, right? They need a counselor. They need somebody who's really able to go under the surface and say, what's leading you to believe that you are trapped in the wrong body? Maybe there's something very serious going on that really needs to be resolved first rather than simply building the child's life around the symptoms of a trauma or a mental illness. Because what happens oftentimes is instead of addressing the unresolved trauma or the mental illness, they will simply set a child on the course of these radical treatments. And then the child is still dealing with the depression or the anxiety, but now they're doing it in this chemically altered, surgically transformed bodies, and they're still dealing with the same mental health issue. So what these kids need is understanding, love. They need to be affirmed in their own physical bodies, and they need great counseling.
Someone might say, Katie, you're an advocate for the rights of children. Don't children have the right to decide their own gender? How do you respond?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think children have a right to not be chemically castrated before puberty by being administered off-label drugs, right? Children have a right to have a body that's intact by the time they make it to adulthood. I understand that adults maybe will make decisions about choosing to transition, and that is their decision. But when it comes to children who don't have the wherewithal to determine their own bedtimes, their own sugar intake, no, children absolutely have a right to have their bodies protected by the people who have the ability to make those decisions and guide them along the path, and that is adults. Adults need to be safeguarding their fertility and their body and their long-term development by keeping these activists and these woke doctors and pediatricians away from them. Children have a right to make sure that they grow up with their bodies unaltered. And we know, because we've studied this, that 88 to 98% of kids who do suffer from gender confusion will grow to accept their physical bodies by the time they've finished puberty. So nature has a way, and God has a way, of taking care of these issues if we simply let kids grow up normally.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Joe Biden Tells Mom He Supports Transgendering 8-Year-Old Kids. You'll find a link to it and to Them Before Us at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Katie, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We'll be continuing our conversation on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school with Pastor Peter Bender on the other side of the break. We'll be talking about the secular kingdom and the spiritual kingdom, and how the Christian and the Lutheran day school occupy both. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house. A charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The seasons are changing, the weather cooling, and it's almost time to commemorate All Saints' Day and the Reformation. That means it's the perfect time of year to celebrate our faithful pastors. Ad Crucem has an excellent selection of gifts for clergy. Come and see our pictorial crucifixes, Christmons, posters, art, greeting cards, wooden plaques, or, if you can't decide your favorite, purchase a gift card of any denomination. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.